The following is a lecture entitled How to Raise a Family, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasath Hikari, recorded on October 15th, 2016 in Pune, India.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapara Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschadyadesha Tarine. So, I've been asked to speak about Krishna conscious family. This is a part of our Bhagavad philosophy. The Bhagavatam states, you should not become a father or a mother unless you can deliver your dependents from birth and death. Simply to give them a material education, to give them food and clothing, this is no better than an animal. The animals also do. They build a nest for their little kitties, and they go out and gather some worms to bring home to the nest. That's all you do, is give your kids a material education, give them clothing, food, etc., then you're no better than an animal. So human life is not meant to be just an animal. Human life is actually meant for reviving your dormant Krishna consciousness. One may ask, well, why is that? It's so much extra trouble to take up the spiritual path. Can't we just focus on our material duties? Isn't that enough? Well, the reality is this. Actually, we're all spiritual beings. We're all fallen from the spiritual world. This is not our actual home. If we simply try to make a comfortable arrangement here in this world, we're cheating ourselves big time, because this is not your real home. Just like a prisoner in the jail, isn't it? He thinks, let me make a nice arrangement here in the prison. You see, that very intelligent. I had a new one devotee, his uncle was in jail. And when his sentence is up, he said, can I stay in the jail? You see. So, the fact is, we're in a prison in this material existence. This is not our actual home. In our actual home, there's no such thing as birth, death, old age, and disease. These four miseries of material existence are forced upon us here in this material world, but they are conspicuous by their absence in the spiritual world. So why put yourself in a situation where you have to suffer in so many ways? Disease, old age, death. Why be in that position? You see, this is not very intelligent. If there's a way you can get out of all suffering conditions, that is intelligence, you see. So the Vedic wisdom, the great treasure, there's no sound, testing, 1, 2, Hare Krishna, can you hear me in the back? You can hear me, okay, can you hear me in the back? Yes, okay, they say that they can hear. So, the whole point is, why suffer? When you can taste the sweetest bliss at every minute, whether you're a brahmachari or a householder, the same principle is there. It's called Ishavashamidam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagajam Jagat Tena Chaktena. Ishavashamidam Sarvam Yatkincham Jagajam Jagat Tena Chaktena Bunjita Magrita Krishna Svidanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within this universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept only those things necessary for himself, set aside as his quota, knowing well to whom everything belongs. This is how we actually have happiness as householders or as brahmacharis or as sannyasis. And we see everything as the property of Krishna. Whether you're a brahmachari just for the few possessions, a dhoti, a bead bag, a toothbrush, a razor blade, or you're a householder with a house and a car and so many bedrooms, the same principle. You have to see everything as the property of Krishna. You see? The Vedic principle is nir mama, nothing is mine. If you see everything as the property of Krishna, this body I have, it is the property of Krishna. My children belong to Krishna. My husband belongs to Krishna. My wife belongs to Krishna. If you see everything as Krishna's property and you engage everything in Krishna's service, you're going to be blissful, you see. I don't care what your situation is. Whether you're wealthy or poor, it won't matter. Whether you live in this side of town or that side of town, it won't matter if you are Krishna conscious. So, therefore, we recommend that you begin your day with a nice puja, Krishna conscious worship. You see, you have a little, everyone gets up in the house, you have a Mangal Arati. You see, you can sing their Gavastakam prayers. Begin your day offering, singing the prayers to the spiritual master. So you understand, who owns this house? Who owns me? Who do I belong to? I'm the property of Krishna and Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. So the whole point is you have to center your family life around Krishna and then you're called Grihastha. Otherwise, you know what you're called? You're called Grihamedi or a materialistic householder. Grihamedi life is called miserable life. Grihastha life is called ecstatic life. So you have your choice. Do you want to be miserable? You want to be ecstatic? It's very simple. All you have to do is put Krishna in the center of your family life, and then you're going to be blissful, you see? The difficulty is we put our senses, serving our own senses, it's called Indriya Seva, is more important than Krishna Seva. This is the big problem we have, whether we're brahmacharis or householders. It's the same problem. We have a tendency to put our own senses as more important than serving Krishna's senses. It's called material disease, and we're all suffering from it. We want to serve ourselves first before we serve God. But just consider this example, your body, okay? Your body requires nourishment. Every cell in your body requires nourishment. So how do you nourish your body? My ears require some nourishment, so I take some rice and rub it in my ears. Is that how you nourish your ears? How do you give... Your eyes need nourishment also, so they function nice. You pour some dal on your eyes, you see? Is that how you nourish your bodily parts? No. You feed the belly, and when you feed the belly, every part of the body is automatically nourished. So Krishna or God is the root of the belly of all creation. Don't think you're neglecting yourself and your family when you put God first. That's how you actually serve your family. Try to get this point very clear in your head. That's how you serve your family, by serving Krishna first. That's how you render the best service to your family. You become the best husband, the best wife, the best parents, the best kids, when you put Krishna in the center. If you don't believe me, just try it. Actually do it. You see, do it. Say, okay, in this home we will not put one morsel of food into our mouths unless it is first offered to Krishna. And the kids will be very well trained. They'll say, Mommy, is this prasadam? Is he? The kids will be very well trained. They'll be like the police force to make sure that your parents are not cheating. Mommy, did you offer this? Oh, yes. I forgot. Let me offer it now, you see. So in this way, the whole family should be trained up in Krishna consciousness. And if you do that, you'll have a great family life, I guarantee you. Absolutely great family life. Such a family produces great acharyas. Srila Prabhupada came out of a Krishna conscious family. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur came out of a Krishna conscious family. You parents can produce acharyas. You can produce great Vaishnava acharyas by being proper parents and receive unlimited mercy from Krishna for doing so. You see? Your first business should be to see that my kids become great Vaishnavas. That's your first duty. Now, you may know that Prabhupada's mother wanted to send him to England for studies. Material studies. But the father, Gauramahadevi, he had nothing to do with them. You see, he wanted his son to be a great devotee. That's all. He used to feed the sages in the home. He would always say, "Please bless my son that he becomes a great devotee of Radharani." This was the father's training. I want my son to be a great devotee of Radharani. You see? The mother, give him a material education. The father, no. That's not so important. He has to be trained how to become a first-class devotee, you see. So, material education, that's okay. But it is secondary. I repeat that once again. Material education is okay, but it is secondary. Your first duty is to educate them in Krishna consciousness. I don't know about India, but in America, homeschooling is legal. Is it legal here too?
Yeah.
Yes, it's legal here. There's one Indian couple from India. Arush. Huh? Arudha Mataji. I forget the husband's name. They're running a small ISKCON center in Boise, Idaho. So they thought they had a son, a little boy, Ravi. So why should we send Ravi to public school? The mother stayed home. She didn't work. Only the father went to work. She's a stay-home mom, which is traditional Vedic system, by the way. Go-to-work moms is a modern-day invention. It's not Vedic. She was a stay-home mom, and she did homeschooling for little Ravi. And he never went to a public school at all. He stayed at home, got his whole education at home, and at age 13, he entered the university at the age 13. And he excelled in the university, became a PhD. Now he's a big PhD Sanskrit professor. He's initiated devotee also of our ISKCON. I forget his name now. He's a big scholar, you see. He didn't go to... His first public school was the university at the age 13. After being homeschooled, he was many, many years. And I have a disciple now who's doing the same thing in Melbourne. Madhavananda Prabhu, yeah. His boy's name?
Krishneet.
He's getting homeschooled also by the mother. He's in Melbourne, Australia right now. And the boy is brilliant. He's many grade levels ahead in his reading. You see, than the kids in the public schools. He's far accelerated. He's learning much quicker than the kids in the public schools are learning. You see. So, if you can do that, or there's a Krishna conscious school, that's what you need to do, if at all possible. Why send your kids to the slaughterhouse? Especially in the Western countries. I don't know about India, but you want your kids to get a Krishna conscious education. That's your first and foremost duty of being parents. As I quoted that verse, unless you can deliver your children from the cycle of birth and death, do not become a parent. So perhaps there are some questions. I'll be happy to try to answer them.
May I add something?
Yes, please do.
You can take the mic. The voice is for this. You want to record?
So now, questions? Which service is best for devotees? The best thing is to chant 16 rounds and to follow the four regular principles. That's the best service for everyone to do. And as far as other services, that's according to one's talents and abilities and what service needs to be done. How to smash the ego. Don't worry about smashing the ego. Just turn on the real ego. You see, there's the real ego and the false ego. The real ego is a neutral word. It means identity. So your actual identity is you're the eternal servant of Krishna. The false ego is I'm this body. I'm the center of existence. So you don't have to be so concerned about smashing the false ego. Just turn on your real ego, and the false ego will naturally go by the wayside. How can I know that I have chosen the right path? You will taste the result. When you take to Krishna consciousness, you will taste the bliss. When you're actually properly situated in the spiritual path, you will relish the sweetest happiness at every minute. How to cultivate Krishna consciousness in teenage children by being an ideal example yourself. What is the most important aspect in devotee relationships? Love. Loving exchange. Always trying to serve, help one another. How to keep our children away from the electronic gadgets, especially when there's a lot of peer pressure. Well, unless they can manage them responsibly, they shouldn't have them. If they're going to look at porno on their smartphone, they shouldn't have a smartphone. That's all. It's very simple then. Unless they can manage it properly. Is it okay to force them or make them compulsory to chant or attend kirtan, pravachan, gita class when they will start hating it more? Well, the thing is, if you yourself are enlivened about doing it, they will see your example. I've seen parents come forward. They have the kid offer obeisances and they don't offer obeisances. That doesn't work. Okay, Amit, offer your obeisances to Guru. And they stand there and they make the kid offer obeisances. That doesn't work.
Just like that airport in Pune, they asked the dog.
Oh, yeah, and here in the airport, the security guard came up with the dog and he told the dog, Dandavat. And the dog got down and offered Dandavat. You see? And the man didn't. The guard didn't. He was showing off how he trained the dog to offer dandavats. So you just bring your kid forward to the guru to show off. See, Guruji, I've trained the kid to offer dandavats, but you don't offer dandavats. You be the ideal example. You be enlivened for kirtan. You be enlivened for hearing and chanting about Krishna, and the kids will go, "Wow! You see how much my parents are enlivened and thrilled." They don't stay home and watch television. They'd rather go to the temple and hear about Krishna. You have to be an ideal example. It's simple. Okay. How do we decide which ashram is good for us? I answered this morning. This is not coming from a householder. This is a householder program.
Bachelors are also there. Youth is also there.
We have
singles.
Okay. All right, we have singles also. The in Vedic culture, every man is trained in brahmachari life. Brahmachari life is both for the attached and for the detached. The attached will want to get married in due course, and that's okay. The detached will want to stay on as brahmachari and maybe sannyasis also eventually, you see. So brahmachari life is for both the attached, and you don't have to decide whether I'm attached or detached. Just take brahmachari training and then you can decide whether you want to maintain it or you want to get married after due course of time. You don't have to immediately decide. You just immediately just take up brahmachari training, and then after you're trained for some time, then you can decide. Which thing has kept you in Krishna consciousness for so long and serving in Prabhupada's mission? Well, that's an interesting question. Because I'm getting some taste. And because I had a sincere desire to fully surrender myself to the will of God and to also to be part of a spiritual revolution which would turn world history upside down. I had those desires, and this movement is fulfilling them. To be fully surrendered to the will of God and be part of the greatest paradigm shift in the history of the universe.
Isn't it when one becomes self-realized, one knows what is the position of self, then they can engage in devotional service.
Once you actually know who you are, that you're not the body, you're the eternal spiritual being, how could you do anything else? How could you go back to the asat, which that which is unreal or imaginary, when you actually know what is real? Does it make any sense? Is it? It's like if you're sick and you throw up your vomit, would you want to eat your vomit? Someone may say, "Oh, why aren't you eating your vomit?" Well, it's not very palatable, that's why. Who wants to eat their vomit? People who give up Krishna consciousness and go back to material life, they're just eating their vomit. You understand? If I gave you a nice bowl full of vomit, would you eat it? No. I'm sorry to give such a gross example, but but it's a big poignant example. It's called vantasi in Sanskrit language, a vomit eater. It says, I didn't invent, this isn't Prabhupada's books. I'm giving you right out of Prabhupada's books. A vomit eater. I didn't feel like eating my vomit, that's why I'm still here. Okay? Very simple. I don't feel like eating vomit. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay, who am I? You're the eternal servant of Krishna. Okay, what qualities are required to become a successful grihastha, to be a completely sold-out servant of your spiritual master? That's how you be a successful grihastha. What is the greatest challenge in grihastha ashram to practice spirituality? Sex. Using sex only for procreation, not for recreation. That's the biggest challenge for many. What section of Srimad Bhagavatam you prefer to encourage grihasthas to practice Krishna consciousness? There is a whole section called Ideal Family Life. You can look up that chapter. It's there. I forget which canto.
Seventh canto.
Read the seventh canto, Ideal Family Life. Sixth canto teaching, fifth canto teachings of Rishabhadev. Actually, you should read the entire Bhagavatam. And the Gita, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the Nectar Devotion, and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and the Krishna book, and the Upadeshamrita, and Easy Journey to Other Planets, and what did I leave out? Sri Shapanishad? And Bhagavad Gita. Read all of Prabhupada's books, that's the point. If you do that, you're going to have a fantastic life as a brahmachari or a grihastha or a sannyasi, whatever you are. And you'll be able to give the best education to your children and to the whole world population, which is your duty as a follower of this movement. It's your duty to enlighten the whole world, not just your own family. Your actual family is all living entities. Did you know that? Your family is all living entities. These are your family members in all these apartments all over here, all over Pune, all over the whole planet, all over this whole universe. This is all your family members. Your duty is to enlighten all your family members, not just the ones that are living in your house. Every living entity is your family member, and it's your duty to liberate all of them. That's Krishna consciousness. That was the instruction given to a householder by Lord Chaitanya. You must spread this teaching to the people of your country, that Brahman Kurma and Kurma Chetra. What inspires you to practice Krishna consciousness day after day, year after year? I already answered it. It's ecstatic. What can I say? Krishna consciousness is absolutely ecstatic. It's a thrill at every moment. So who wouldn't want to practice it at every minute? How did you come in contact with ISKCON and Prabhupada? Well, I'll just kind of put it in a nutshell here. I was a college student. On the dean's list. I was academically advanced college student, but it didn't make any sense to me. I wanted to know what is the meaning of life, but no course was telling me. Even the philosophy courses didn't tell me. And my roommates couldn't tell me. Nobody could tell me, you see, what is the purpose of my existence. So I really had to find that out, because They said, what do you want to major in? But it didn't make sense until I knew who I actually was and what was the purpose of my existence. So I went. Then I heard about self-realization, and so I got in to study that. I encountered so many Mayavadi gurus who said that I'm God, you're God, we're all God. I tried to do it for a while. It didn't work out very well. I tried to be God, but I wasn't able to pull it off. And then some friend introduced me to this mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And it worked. I mean, it was amazing. It's like getting on a rocket ship and it can go through the covering of the universe into other dimensions. That's what it was like when I started chanting Hare Krishna. I was traveling to other dimensions beyond the material existence. So then I decided, well, I'm not going to have a career here. I just go to India, become a sadhu in India. I didn't know about ISKCON yet. I just go to India, become one of those beggars in India, you know, like the holy places, you know. Just become a beggar in India. But then I thought, no, I should, instead of leaving the world, I should stay in the world and try to save it. So I went to San Francisco instead of India, and then I met the devotees. And after a couple of years of trying to, you know, sometimes chanting with them, taking prasadam, not really realizing that these are the people who are pulling off the world revolution I wanted to be a part of. After two or three years, I finally realized these are the people that are really doing what I need to be doing. So I finally joined forces with them in 71. What points strike you that made you think Krishna consciousness is different from other spiritual practices? Well, it's very simple. I realized by studying, actually being raised a Christian, I was going through a soul searching there right in the spring of 71. I knew that I finally concluded, I was studying the character of Lord Jesus Christ. I was trying to understand what made him a perfectly spiritually enlightened being. And one day I found it in the Bible. Christ says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I realized that's what I have to do. I have to forget about what I want. Don't even think about what you want anymore. You just have to do what God wants, period. I realized that's what you have to do, but I didn't know what God wanted me to do. But then I got the idea that if you ask him, you just have to ask him. Just pray to him. What do you want me to do? Please reveal to me your will. What do you want me to do? So I came up with a prayer. In my prayer, I used to pray it every morning. Dear God, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. That was my mantra. And that's when I was praying like that, that's when the devotees came to my town and I met Vishnu John Swami and I realized this is the answer to my prayer. So I was begging the Lord to reveal to me his will on how I could be his perfect servant. And no one else was able to really showing me. No one could answer that. Swami Satchidananda told me that I was God. Alan Watts told that I was God. Maharishi told me to pay $35 and chant Aing, 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 Aing. None of these things worked, you see. But when the devotees, when Vishnu John Swami started talking about this philosophy, I understood, yes, this is actually the answer to my prayer. I'm begging God to guide me how to be his perfect servant, and now I'm being told. Now, it actually happened at the same time as I was praying. He came to town just at that time, and I realized this is the answer to my prayer. At first, I experimented with it. I wasn't absolutely sure. Let me give this a try. I was thinking, well, because I was a songwriter, you see, I was a singer-songwriter, playing my guitar and singing for people. First I thought, well, George Harrison had just come out with My Sweet Lord. I'll just be a Krishna-conscious musician, writing songs and go around singing, you know. But then the devotees were saying, well, you should become a disciple, you know. Surrender, become a disciple. I was thinking, no, 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 no. And they showed me, a verse in the Gita that's where Tadvidi Pranipate, no, you have to surrender to the spiritual master. I was thinking, no, 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 no. Didn't want to do that. I'll just write songs about Krishna, you know. I started writing songs, Krishna conscious songs, actually. And I was saying, that's what I'll do. I'll just follow George Harrison's example, you know, my sweet Lord, chanting the names of the Lord, you'll be free, go around and singing for people, you know. That was my idea. But then one day, one morning, we had just gotten the Radha Krishna Temple album. You know, we have the Govinda prayers. But the second cut is Samsara Dhavana Lila Loka. The London devotees were singing it. It was very nicely produced by George. Very first-class musical, you know, production. So I was hearing that song. Samsara Dhavana Lalita Loka Tranaya Karyunyagana Gunadvam Praptashakalyana Gunanavasya Vandiguru Sri Charanaravindam. I was hearing the devotees sing that. I went, wow. Wow. They're tasting something that I'm not. They've given their hearts to Prabhupada. I haven't. They're tasting some nectar that I'm not tasting. Well, being an envious person, you know, I just thought, well, I'm missing out on the nectar by not surrendering to Prabhupada. So I just had this thought that came into my brain. Wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? And the tears just came streaming down my face, and that was it. When can I get initiated? Okay. What if the wife is not Krishna consciousness, not Krishna conscious, and not so interested? So how to preach to her? Well, be very kind and give her prasadam, bring her to the temple, do whatever you can. It's even worse when the wife wants to be Krishna conscious and the husband doesn't. That's even worse. That's even a more difficult situation. Even that can be done. I have a disciple who does quite a good job keeping her husband in line, allowing her to practice Krishna consciousness. And eventually he will become a devotee also because of his wife's Krishna consciousness. That day will come and he'll become a devotee too. I can see it coming. And do the children become naive if they are not taught in the public school? Ravi Gupta was not naive. Actually, the kids who go to public school, they are naive. Those who are trained in this knowledge, they are completely beyond naivety, however you pronounce it. They are the most learned. They can see things as they are. Kids who go to public school, they're being deluded with false information. They're the ones who are naive. How to be ecstatic in Krishna consciousness? Well, you just have to be Krishna conscious, and then you'll automatically be ecstatic. If you're not ecstatic, you are not Krishna conscious. So put your mind on Krishna. Man manama mamad bhakto majaji mang namaskaru. It's a simple process. How can I develop an ecstatic nature and enthusiastic that you have? Well, you just have to be a sold out servant of your spiritual master. That's all. It's a very simple formula. It's an open secret. Be a completely sold out servant of your spiritual master. And then you become absolutely ecstatic. How do you deal with pride being a disciple of Srila Prabhupada? Well, my wife is a big help. My wife is a big help, you see. This is a good thing about married life. Your spouse will always get on your case about this and that. It's really good.
Being proud, being proud of the disciple of Srila Prabhupada is nothing wrong. One should be proud of being Krishna conscious, as a bona fide spiritual master.
Well, I'm certainly, I feel very fortunate to be Prabhupada's disciple, no doubt. I mean, when I joined, the movement was very tiny. It was very tiny. It was a very tiny little movement. There was no temples in India at all. None. We'd have an annual festival in the whole movement would get together in New Vrindavan. Devotees would come from New York. A few would fly over from London. that was the whole movement when I joined. It was a very tiny little movement back in 71. So I feel it's a great privilege to be one of the early members who actually got initiated by Prabhupada. It's a great privilege. I feel very, very fortunate. And I just want to, before I leave my body, I just want to give as much, share as much as possible of the mercy I got from Prabhupada with all of you. I got so much mercy from him, really did. Many, many letters he wrote me to answer many, many questions that inspired me to answer the thousands of questions that I answered through the internet, because Prabhupada answered my questions. It was amazing. I never got letters like that from anybody in this material world. They were so full of love and so full of knowledge. So I take it as the greatest privilege that I was able to become Prabhupada's disciple. The name he gave me also, Sankarshan, means one who attracts all living entities. I really want to do that for Prabhupada. I want to attract the whole world. So I take that name as also as a special blessing. Yeah.
If you are too embarrassed about being Krishna conscious devotee, you cannot give anybody Krishna conscious.
Yeah, I'm not embarrassed about being a devotee. If you look in my suitcase, you won't find any karmika. And I fly all over the world. Only when I go to Russia do I have a pair of pants. Because the last time I tried, I enter Russia from a remote border crossing. And the last time I went in a dhoti, they put me in an office for 3 hours. They wouldn't let me in the country. So when I go to Russia, I wear pants while I'm crossing the border, and then I put my dhoti back on once I get into Russia. So, you know, I don't like to wear pants. I don't like to be without tilak. Even when I was, many years ago, I was working a part-time job for a big American corporation called MCI Corporation to support our preaching in Austin. And, you know, you get a job, no tilak, your hair's grown out a little bit, you have a tie, they can't see your neck beads, you know, the whole thing. So, but after a while I was in there, I was thinking, well, this isn't really me, you know, going with no tilak, no neck beads. I can't stand this. So one day I said, I'm just going to wear my tilak to work, I don't care. So I wore my tilak to work. I was doing telesales, you see, selling over the telephone, and my boss gets a commission on every sale that I do. So he was very motivated to motivate me to be successful, you understand? So that day, and I wore that tilak, I was selling, boom, 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 boom. One sale, another sale, another sale. I was so fired up. And my boss was in ecstasy. At the end of the day, he said, my karmi name is Bridge, you know, like Bridge Abbasi. He said, Mr. Bridge, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but from now on, you must wear it every day. So hey, you know, Vaishnava culture is cool. It's really the coolest thing out there. This is the latest fashion. Don't be embarrassed to be to show your Vaishnava, your seeker or whatever it is. You know, be out front. We're taking over the world, ladies and gentlemen. This is the coolest thing happening on the planet, and we're the cutting edge of the greatest paradigm shift in the history of the universe. Don't be embarrassed about being a devotee of Krishna. Okay.
Prabhupada also gives the story of a Muslim company buying the company from Hindu and then told everybody.
Yeah, there's a nice example. Guru Mata, my wife was saying that there was one factory owned by a Hindu, and all the employees were tilak. And then a Muslim bought the factory. So he said, he looked at all the employees and said, from tomorrow onward, no one can wear tilak here. If you want to keep your job, come to work without tilak tomorrow. So every day, the next day, sure enough, everybody came without tilak except for one. And he said, "But what can I do? This is my, you know, this is my culture,
huh? This is my dharma.
This is my dharma. My duty. I have to do this." He said, "Okay, you can wear it, but nobody else." You see, so you have to be. You should be proud of your Vaishnava culture. You should be proud of this heritage that you represent. You should be very proud of it. because we're taking over the world. This is our mission. We're going to do it. It's predicted it's going to happen within the next 10,000 years. They're planting the seeds now for a complete paradigm shift that's going to completely turn world history upside down. There's a 10,000-year period within the Kali Yuga when Vaishnava culture becomes the culture of this planet. It becomes a Vedic age within the Kali Yuga. It's a 10,000-year period, and it began 500 years ago. So we're just starting right now. It's the beginning of it. But it's going to keep expanding and expanding until finally we're going to have high court judges in every country wearing Vaishnava tilak, and prime ministers also wearing Vaishnava tilak. And the president of the United States will be wearing Vaishnava tilak. That day is coming. So be enthusiastic about your culture, and let's take over the world. Hearing many times, we don't understand we are not the body. How to understand and surrender all the time that we are soul. Remember all the time that we are soul. That's why we have to read the books. That's why we have to hear classes, because we tend to drift back into bodily consciousness again and again and again. Repeatedly hearing is very important. Krishna consciousness instructs us to be perfect in our duties. For being perfect in any work area, an individual needs a huge effort, or we can say Herculean effort. Such perfection, in turn endows greed, power, prestige. But one has to compromise family life while endeavoring for being perfect. Believing the both ends up average life in both. What is the solution? Can you please share insights in this context? We actually want to be successful materially and spiritually. Prabhupada said a Krishna conscious businessman can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the world. So it's not that we're against material perfection. We have no objection if you become if we have our devotees are materially successful, that's very good. If you become CEOs and prime ministers and high court judges, that's very good for the world. If devotees can take the leading positions in the world, that's very good. So we have no objection to devotees becoming successful materially and spiritually. But the most important thing is your spiritual success, because whatever material success you have will be taken away by the laws of nature in due course. But spiritual success is never taken away. So always put spiritual success first, and then your material success will follow automatically. If you simply worship Lakshmi to get some money, she's called chanchala or flickering. Sometimes you'll have wealth, sometimes you won't. But if you worship Narayan or Krishna, where does Lakshmi always stay? She always stays at the lotus feet of Narayan. So if you are Krishna conscious, Lakshmi will always be with you. You understand? The materialist worships Lakshmi to get fortune, but she's chanchala for a materialist. Sometimes there, sometimes not there. But for a Vaishnava, she's always there. So put your spiritual success first, and then material success will follow like a shadow. Yeah?
Material success, according to one's past karma, is automatically going to come.
Yeah.
It's automatically going to go. You don't have to endeavor for material success. The only thing we are lacking is the spiritual side. And that's what we have to endeavor. Material success is automatically predestined. You will get it what you deserve. There is no sense in working hard and making extra efforts for the material success.
So although I am following the four regulative principles, but not able to follow the other standards of being a devotee, so sometimes I feel I'm not so good as other devotees. How to change this mindset? What should be the mindset? Well, the thing is, whatever you're doing is your eternal asset. I don't know what you're not able to do. If you're following the regulated principles, what are the other standards? This is a personal thing. I don't know what he's not. Maybe he's not. If he's following the four regulated principles, that's a very big accomplishment. And the other things, well, maybe he's not chanting 16 rounds. I don't know. This is a personal matter. You have to write me an email. I can't answer it vaguely. I need specific information. Send an email to SDA, my initials, Sankarshan Dasadikari, at backtohome.com. SDA at backtohome.com. How to approach the devotees who are senior, junior, without, no, didn't finish the sentence. Those who are senior, you should be very eager to serve them, hear from them, and learn from them. Those who are your equals, you should befriend them, have all kinds of wonderful reciprocations with them. And those who are your juniors, you should be very kind to them. There's loving exchange with all your seniors, your peers, and your juniors. There's loving exchanges in all facets of Vedic culture. How to satisfy a devotee by helping him to be Krishna conscious. O bestower of mercy, you have purified this place called Barsana Yoga just by your mere presence. It's actually Prabhupada's mercy. I'm very grateful to all the merciful, to their lordships for arranging for your appearance. Please be kind and merciful in this forgotten soul and answer a simple question. What should be the mood and consciousness in this glorious month of Kartik? Actually, you should have the same mood as you always have to be Krishna conscious. You should strive for pure bhakti. Kartik is a special month. It gives special potency. There's no doubt. So, but you, not why only in Kartik, but especially now, as we approach the month of Kartik in several days, tomorrow, you should be striving for pure devotional service. Because that's, if you're desiring anything less than pure devotional service, you're cheating yourself. Pure devotional service is what the essence of everything. So why go for something less than the topmost thing? You should be praying for pure devotional service. And after Kartik as well.
Why only in Kartik?
All the time. And some guidance from the expert sales manager of BTG on book distribution. Yeah, I was a sales manager at BTG at one point, but I'll give you, it was actually my wife is the real success. There was a marathon for bringing BTG back to print, and she and I went out and did that full time, and we won, we were the top in the whole movement. Actually, she was the really one who was doing it. I was going along. She was the real queen. In Fiji, she was known as the queen of book distribution. Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi. So, she's the real expert on book distribution, but I am I do distribute books when I have the opportunity. It's the greatest opportunity to share the literature of Prabhupada with those who do not have it. The real essence of book distribution is to be very determined to give Krishna to everyone. And Prabhupada actually gave me a personal instruction regarding book distribution. I wrote, asked him about it one time. He said, if you will simply describe these books with the best descriptive language, present these books with the best descriptive language, then you'll be able to convince anyone, even an atheist, to purchase them. So when you go out and tell people about these books, actually these books are not different from Krishna. So whatever you say to glorify the book, you're actually glorifying Krishna. And you're glorifying Prabhupada. So you should just, whatever it takes, you should just convince them that somehow or other you have to have this book. Without this book, your life is imperfect and incomplete. If you have this book, your life will become perfect and complete. In this way, you just have to become, you know, just have to convince the people to take the books. How to view Radharani as Radharani? She's the pleasure potency of Krishna. Krishna's most merciful aspect is Srimati Radharani. Krishna can sometimes be hard, but Radharani is soft, you see. That's the softness of Krishna is most available through Radharani. So through Radharani, then Krishna also becomes very soft. Prabhupada told us how to approach Radharani, that, "My dear mother, please tell about me to your Krishna." And then when Radharani hears this, she would say, "Oh, my dear Krishna, just see this devotee. He is better devotee than me." And then Krishna become very interested. "Oh, a devotee better than my Radharani? Let me see who is this devotee better than my Radharani." So in this way, try to understand how Radharani is the most merciful manifestation of Krishna's love. And take advantage of her kindness by chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." How to bring conviction and sincerity to practice Krishna consciousness. By proper philosophical understanding, by reading, by hearing, the mind is very strong and drags you towards sense gratification again and again. You have to have a proper understanding, that's all. You have to know what's going on. When your mind goes away, you have to know what's happening to you. You should be like an expert physician. You can analyze your own sickness, and you can cure your own sickness. How to balance devotional life and professional life? Well, you have to engage your professional life in the service of Krishna. You have to have a nice sadhana before you go to the office. Get up early, chant 16 rounds, if at all possible. Have a Mangal Arati, sing their Gavastakam prayers, even 5-minute Mangal Arati, if you're on a tight schedule. Offer a little puja, sing Gavastakam prayers, chant 16 rounds, hear a little Bhagavatam. If the best thing is a family get together and all read from Prabhupada's books, Bhagavatam verse, and discuss it every morning. You have to start your day with Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if you start your day with a professional life and try to add Krishna later, you're not going to be properly situated. You have to begin your day with Krishna consciousness. And then your professional life, you'll understand, oh, this is for Krishna. Just like one of our devotees, she was studying in, I think she was working at an MBA in Toronto. She had a tremendous burden of studies. She came home after a hard day at school, and then she had to write a paper, she had to study for an exam, and there was her japa beads. She hadn't even chanted her rounds yet. What to do? "Should I write the paper, study for the exam, or stand on my, chant my rounds first?" He said, "Better I do my rounds first." Then she did her rounds. "Now I will study for this exam for Krishna. I will write this paper for Krishna." Once she chanted the rounds first, then everything else became for Krishna, and that's the proper move. You have to begin your day with sadhana, and then you will know this professional duties I'm doing, it is for Krishna. It's for offering the result to Krishna. If you just do the professional duty without the Krishna consciousness, you'll be bewildered. So begin your day with sadhana, and then you'll know, then you can do your day with your spiritual batteries fully charged up. Krishna can also be pleased by serving devotees and parents, but if the parents already have left for heaven, that's pretty optimistic. Then is there any way we can serve the parents? In this case, is God still pleased? Actually, by your becoming a devotee of Krishna, that is the greatest service you can do for your parents. Just like one disciple wrote me today, and his father has actually departed. And I said, "Actually, I'm very, very much appreciative of your father, because he very joyfully gave his two sons to me. I very much appreciate the wonderful qualities of this great personality." So I said, "The best thing you can do for your father is that you become Krishna, you practice Krishna consciousness." The son is called Putra, one who delivers the power of the father from hell. So whatever situation your parents may be in, maybe they weren't fully surrendered yet to Krishna, but by your becoming fully surrendered to Krishna, they will become delivered. Many, not only your father, but your grandfather, your great-grandfather, you just become a fixed-up pure devotee of Krishna. You render the greatest service to many, many generations of your forefathers. How to decide whether we are ready for initiation or when we should take initiation? When you realize that this material world is not a fit place for a gentleman, then it's time to think about getting initiated, because that's your way. How are you going to get out? If you think the material world is a place of enjoyment, you're not ready yet. If you realize this is a hell, I need to get out of here, then you're ready to think about getting initiated. Okay, we deserve, or you want to add? You want to add more answers to? Okay. We deserve suffer of past. We deserve suffer of past karma. How to be conscious that we are not adding good or bad karma in this life? If you engage in devotional service, you are not creating karma. Good karma is called karma. Bad karma is called vikarma. Devotional service is called akarma, which means no karma. By engaging in devotional service, not only do you not create karma, but you also wipe out previous karmas. You neutralize them.
Without Krishna consciousness, you are doing all karma.
Without Krishna consciousness, you're creating more karma for yourself. You say, well, I'm not doing anything bad, but wait a minute, do you know that you're a mass murderer? Did you know that without Krishna consciousness, you are a mass murderer? Every time you inhale, you're killing so many microbial germs. You're committing mass murder with every breath, sir. And when you ride down the street on your little motor, on your Vespa, how many insects are being smashed on your, the front of your Vespa? You see what I'm saying? You have to take, for every insect you smash on your Vespa, you have to take birth as an insect and be smashed on a Vespa. You understand?
Even if you're a vegetarian.
So you need to take up Krishna consciousness to get free from your karma. Otherwise, you're stuck for many, many births. How many insects did you kill on your Vespa? You see? Hundreds and thousands of them in all those rides you've made up and down the street here in Pune. You see?
But riding on the street also, the tires
are rolling over so many little ants. I mean, you're going to have to pay for every little thing you did. Therefore, you better surrender to Krishna, sir, because Krishna says, Sarva Pape Bhyo Mokshiyashami, I will free you of all your karma. Absolutely neutralize all of it. And there's not only this lifetime, there's your previous lifetimes, and thousands and millions of lifetimes. You have thousands and millions of lifetimes of karma you have to deal with. That's why you're going through so many weird situations right now here in Pune. It's your past karma. So get yourself free from karma. Take shelter of Krishna. And
so you're indebted to all the demigods also.
What do you speak of the demigods, you see? Every time it rains, that you're indebted to Indra. You have some plants out in your yard, they got rained by Indra, now you have to pay Indra back the debt for the rainy. I mean, it's just some, we can't even measure how we're indebted to the demigods, to the animals, you see? So that guy who manufactured all the workers at the Vespa plant, you know, who tightened the bolts on your Vespa before it rolled off the assembly line, you have so much karmic debt, you can't even begin to imagine how tied up you are in karmic debt. But when you surrender to Krishna, you're relieved of all of it. So be intelligent, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be stupid, please. Don't be a feather brain. Don't be a dumb nitwit. Use this human life to revive your lost relationship with Krishna and get out of this nasty place. This is not your home. You belong in the spiritual world. That's your actual home. And there's no old age, there's no death, there's no disease, there's no ISIS crisis. It's a fantastic place. It's a fantastic place. We have to worry about ISIS now. I was thinking about getting a bulletproof vest just for going to the shopping mall, you know. I mean, it's getting so bad nowadays, you know what I mean? So
there's so many securities everywhere.
Now security everywhere, you see. in the stores, I mean, every so much security. It used to be there was no security at the airport. There was no security at the airport. You just go to the airport, get on the plane, and that was it. But now you have to be, I mean, it's heavy. Very heavy. If the devotional service is transcendental, if devotional service is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, it's not a question of if, it is. Okay. Why are we affected by these modes even after practicing devotional service? Because you are not mature yet in your devotional service. You're still hovering in an intermediary platform between material life and spiritual life, you see. When you become completely absorbed in pure Krishna bhakti, then the influence, those karmic influences are not acting on you any longer. You're still in an intermediary stage where you haven't completely purified yourself yet. So keep progressing. The more you progress, the less karmic reactions will act upon you, and they become absolutely nil at a certain point. How can we be free from phobias due to which we are devotional life is affected? Well, just the phobias are due to a lack of Krishna consciousness, you see. Abhichadan, one who becomes fearless by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. If you, whatever fear you have, and we all have fears, let's face the facts. We're all scared about this and that. It's simply due to our lack of Krishna consciousness. One who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he feels and he experiences the perfect protection of Krishna at every minute, in all times, places, and circumstances. Therefore, he's fearless, not artificially, because he feels, he experiences Krishna's protection at every minute. There's that sloka. Mare Kesha Rake Krishna Mare Ke. If Krishna wants to kill me, nobody can protect me. And if Krishna wants to protect me, nobody can kill me. So put yourself completely under Krishna's protection. Krishna, you can kill me whenever you want. I'm not afraid of your killing me. If you kill me, it just means I'm being promoted to a new position in your service, that's all. If I leave this body. So the devotee has no fear whatsoever. He knows he's under Krishna's protection at every minute. Do we get karma by doing things in ignorance? Of course you do. Or maybe in the childhood. There's that story of, what was his name? That Muni? Manduka Muni. When he was a little kid, he was playing. He took an ant and he pierced it. He took a straw and pierced it in the rectum. He tortured a little ant when he was a kid in childhood play. It's foolish childhood play. So later on in life, he was going to be put to death by torture. I think they put you on a rod, a bamboo shaft. They take you and ram a bamboo shaft up through your rectum and up through your body to put you to death like that. A very hellish way to die. You can put in a, they take you and ram you down a bamboo shaft up through your innards, into your rectum, through your innards. Very hellish way to die, a torturous way to die. Something like that was happening to him. He's wondering, why is this? Here I am engaged in devotional service. I'm a Muni, I'm a, you know, transcendentalist. Why is this happening? Oh, because you did this when you were a kid. You see. So he got relief from it. But he almost had to experience it because he had actually become a transcendentalist.
Prabhupada gives the example of a fire, a child touching the fire, whether he knows it or not, he burns.
The child burns his hand, even if he doesn't know the fire burns. In ignorance, he may touch the fire, he still gets burned. So the thing is, you do have to take responsibility for things you did even when you're a little child. It's like when I was a kid, my parents fed me beef, chicken, all that garbage. So that karma sits with me, even though my parents, because I took birth in that family, my own karma, I took birth in a meat-eater family, so that karma is all with me until I surrender to Krishna, you see. So you can't say, well, you're an innocent kid. But no, you took birth in that situation because of your desire to be in that situation. Therefore, you do have to take responsibility for taking birth in a meat-eating family, you see. So in this way, we're responsible at every step for everything that we do. But if you surrender to Krishna, sarvapapebhyo mokshiyashami, I relieve you from all of your sinful reactions. So therefore, don't hesitate. Don't be afraid. Just fully surrender to Krishna. Sarvadharman pradhyaja maamekang shadanang vraja ahang tong prabhavapimo mokshiyashami maashuchaha. Give up all other duties. Just take one duty only as your only business. That is the fully surrender to Krishna. And if you do that, you dovetail all your duties into that one duty, whether it's professional duties or family duties, you merge all of those duties into that one duty of surrendering to Krishna, and you'll have a perfect life, and you will go back to home, back to Godhead. So, well, my book is here. We have any more copies besides one? Who has the copies? Back here, Shridhar Das, my disciple Shridhar Das, has a case of them. Anybody who takes a book, you bring it to me. Give me your name, and I'll give you a personal blessing in the book. And what is it? How much is the book?
Some more, 600 or more they can give.
600 or more. 600 or more dollars. I mean rupees. Little salesman. Okay, so we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Huh? Never cover the cost. 600 rupees just covers the cost. It's very nicely printed. It's printed in the West with color plates and everything. It's a very, you know, very professional, high quality thing here.
Printing in the West, it's very expensive.
Printing in the West is expensive.
Even 600 rupees is very low.
Actually, 600 rupees is barely even paying for the actual printing cost. It's a real concession, 600 rupees. Thank you, Hare Krishna.